So we're a little ahead, second Seder-wise, from everybody else. We're on Daf Pei Hei Amud Aleph in the seventh parak. Everybody else is mostly in the sixth parak, Socher Zomnin. It's not Socher Zapolin. The beginning of Socher Zapolin is absolutely unbelievable. It's absolutely one of the greatest beginning of any parakim ever, probably because it's a Gadita, and about four blot of it, and it's unbelievable a Gadita, one after the other. So it talks about Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, how they had Yisurin. That's at the beginning of the Gemara. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon called the Yisurin upon himself, which is a pella in and of itself, that he said, Achai v'rei'ai bo elai. My brothers, my friends, come to me. And he would have, it's just, the Gemara is just unbelievable. They put 60 blankets underneath him, and in the morning, they would wake up, he would wake up, and they would find that all 60, they would wring out the towels of the, everybody finished eating? Blood and pus of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. They would wring it out into 60 buckets. 60 different buckets, and that's how much came out of Rabbi Elazar Shimon's body. That was Yisurin that he had. He's a very big guy, but even so, it's just an unbelievable Gemara. The Gemara says about Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi wanted to marry Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon's wife. The Rabbi Yehuda Anasi said to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon's wife, after Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon passed away, he said, I want to marry you. I want you to be my wife. And Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon's wife said, how can I marry someone so whole after marrying someone so kadosh? How can I marry somebody like you? It's Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, it's not Stamach. Author of Mishnayos, if no one has heard of him before. And how can I marry you after being married to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon? And the Gemara says, why was Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon so much greater? And she said, because of Yisurin. Because of the Yisurin that he took upon himself. And Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon's wife said, you've never seen any Yisurin like that. Said Rabbi, Chavivin Yisurin, that's a Gemara Pei Hei Amud Aleph, Chavivin Yisurin. What, Yisurin are so great? So he brought Yisurin upon himself. The Gemara says that something happened, and he was able to get Yisurin, or he'd be punished elsewhere. And he took upon himself Yisurin, and he said to himself, I'm going to take these Yisurin for myself. Unbelievable little Gemara. At the end, it says, Kulu Shnei Yisuri, the Rabbi Elazar, all the years that Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon had Yisurin, that he had these things happen to him, Lo Shachavinish below Zmane. Nobody died if it wasn't their proper time to die. Everybody died in their proper time. They were supposed to live to 80, they lived to 80. Supposed to live to 120, they lived to 120. Those people who couldn't live for a certain, whatever it was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a set time for them in Shemayim. Whatever time that was, it was automatic. Nobody else had anything else. That was by Rabbi Elazar. Kulu Shnei Yisuri the Rebbe, all the years of the Yisurin of Rebbe, Lo Itzrich Alma Lamitra. The world needed no rain. Meaning, there was so much bracha that was in the world that the plants grew without any rain. No rain fell. There was no rain that fell on the earth for 3 years. And they didn't need it. And when they took up a radish, says the Gemara, when they picked up a radish from the ground, they would find a puddle of water underneath the radish. Somehow the world just took care of itself. Everything was taken care of by itself. The Yerushalmi, in Kilayim, Perek Tes Halacha Gimel says, Lo Mesu Chayos, Lo Yipila Isha Ubra. That none of the women who were giving birth died, and not a single woman had a miscarriage during those years that Rebbe had Yisurin. These are unbelievable brachos. But what's the connection? Just because they had Yisurin, they had these things happen, that all of a sudden bracha comes into the world? What does that mean? And why is the Gemara telling us this? Why is the Gemara going through and trying to tell us something like this? Okay, so there's a Kedushas Levi, Rebbe Levi Yitzmi Berdichev. It's the first piece on this week's Parsha. It says, Eila Mishpatim Asher Tassim with Nehem. These are the judgments that you should put in front of Bnei Yisrael. You should place in front of them. So what does it mean, Asher Tassim Levayim? And plus, at the end of the Parsha, it's very strange. At the end of the Parsha, there's brachos. There's brachos. I'm going to send a malach to you. Later on, Moshe Rabbeinu rejects this malach. In Parsha's Kisisa, he says, no, I don't want a malach. I want you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, I'm going to send you a malach, and the malach is going to be with you. Lishmorecha badorach. He's going to take care of you wherever you go on the road. And then after, lo yebecha meshakela akara, you won't have any bad things happen to you. You won't have any barren woman. You're not going to have anything wrong. And he goes on. There's brachos at the end of the parsha. What's the pshat? Again, the brachos right before Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Har Sinai. Right before that. So what's pshat? So Kedushas Levi says, what is the point of mishpatim? Mishpatim are judgments. They're dinin. And as we know, mishpatim is all above a comma. all about Metzia. I mean, this Parsha is pretty much every parak that you have in Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, and a little bit of Bava Basra. And Makos as well. Not as much, because Gullus is written in other Parshas. We have Nezikin is this week's Parsha. There's added things. There's Eved Ivri, Maka Aviv, and Mekalo Aviv. There's other things that are mentioned in this Parsha. But it's Nezikin. What is this? What are we trying to get out of this Parsha? So, the Kedushas Levi says the following. He says, Mishpatim are dinim. They're set judgments that God wants to bring down into this world. Dinim is a form of Yisurin. And especially the word Nezikin in and of itself means damages. A person gets hurt. Something happens to a person. It's not things that you want. It's things that happen and we have to go through. And we sometimes have to go through. Yisurin can be really, really bad. There could be death involved. There could be sicknesses involved. There could be anything you can think of. Yisurin could be absolutely anything. And then there could be really small Yisurin. There could be me reaching into my pocket to pull out a pen and I don't find it. Oh, because it's in my other pocket. That's Yisurin. A guy who stubs his toe. Oh, that's the worst Yisurin. Let's forget about that. That and a paper cut. It's not much worse than that. But a guy who reaches to go into his car. I have two Toyota keys on my keychain. I only own one Toyota. But I have two Toyota keys on my keychain. I'm joking. There's my mom's car. So anyway, but I have two Toyota keys on my keychain. If I take one Toyota key and I put it in my car in the keyhole and it doesn't work, oh, that's Yisurin. That's Yisurin. Says the Kedushas Levi, any time a person has Yisurin, and this whole parsha is about Yisurin, about something happening. It's Ela Mishpatim Shetasim Lefem. These are the Yisurin that are going to happen to a person. Then in the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarantees you there's going to be bracha. You're going to have Hatzlacha afterward. You're going to have Hashpa. You're going to have Kol Tuv Shebaol. Everything good will happen. So at the end of the parsha ends off and it says, oh, and you know what's going to happen? Lotim HaShakeh LeBakara. You're going to have a Malach that's standing in front of you. All the good things you can ever imagine. You can have all the rain that you need. All the parnasa that you're going to need. All comes from all the mishpatim that happened in the beginning of the parsha. So Yisurin are a good thing. Even though at the time, you sit there and you say, God, why are you doing this to me? God, why is this happening? Yisurin are only good. They're only for us to be able to grow from. Why? Okay, so we know that a tzaddik does not have anything in Olam Hazeh. A tzaddik gets all his reward in Olam Haba and doesn't get anything in this world. A tzaddik is supposed to be rewarded there, and if he gets rewarded here, that takes away from his Olam Haba. If a guy is on a beautiful island and sees unbelievable things, and maybe even a volcano erupting, that anah hopefully will not take away from your Olam Haba. But it's a great amount of anah. It's a great amount of anah. And that anah can subtract in certain ways from the Olam Haba of a person, depending on how things go. Yisurin add on to your Olam Haba. So a Yisur can take away all those different things that happen in different places, and all the anah that you got in other things that you have in life, if you have a little bit of Yisurin, can take it away. We have no idea what's the percentage. That how much hanah can I get, that how much Yisurin has to go up against that. It could be that me reaching for a pen and missing is enough to take away the fact that I ate a really good dinner last night. Did a really good dinner. We have no idea. We have absolutely no idea. We don't know what it's like. And Avadi, this world is meant for us to look at it. And we know the famous Gemara, that when we go up to Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, did you see my beautiful things in the world? I mean, a lot of beautiful things in this world. Did you see them? You're going to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not sure. I don't think I went to the Alps. I mean, I flew over it once, because, you know, the cheap ticket was through Switzerland. But I don't know if I really saw the Alps. Why not? Why didn't you see the Grand Canyon? Why didn't you go to all these other places? They're going to say that to you. And you're going to look, and you're going to say, you know, I'm sorry. I didn't really mean to. But you might have a taina. Here's the taina. You ready for the taina? I have the taina for you. I want you to put this in your pocket and be like, oh, wait. I know what to say. I want you to say that. This is the line. You say, well, I didn't want to get so much hanah in this world. I didn't want to get so much good things in this world because I wanted to gain more in Olam Haba. You ready for the line back? Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to look at you, and he's going to say, why didn't you take upon yourself a little bit of Yisurin? Take upon yourself a paper cut. That should be everything for you. Get one paper cut. That should be like everything for the rest of your life. Take upon yourself a little bit of Yisurin. You don't hurt yourself, but say to yourself, I wanted to see what a Kadosh Baruch Hu has in this world and get a little bit of Yisurin from it. When you're a Chassidish HaTorah, a little bit of Chassidish HaTorah. There's a Chassidish HaMaisa that happens over here. It's an unbelievable story. The Baal HaTanya, his grandson, was the Tzemach Tzedek. The Baal HaTanya, he never really wrote things down. He had a couple things. We all know he wrote the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, but when it came to his Torah, he never really wrote anything down. But there were certain things that he wanted to put down that he said that he was getting ready for the test in Olam Haba, and he put down he made a sefer all of Torah that he would only say in Shemayim, that he wouldn't say in this world. And he told everyone, he said, if you read this sefer of this Torah, you're going to be put in Cherem. You're going to be put in Cherem. I don't want anyone reading anything from this sefer. So, you know, his grandson, the Tzemach Tzedek, said, Rebbe, even me. And the Baal HaTanya said, even you. Nobody can read from this sefer. So, unfortunately, there was a fire in the Baal HaTanya's house. And one of the tragedies was this sefer was destroyed in the fire. So the Baal HaTanya was unbelievably upset. And he went to the Tzemach Tzedek, and he said to him, please, tell me, what did you see in the sefer? I want to rewrite it. I want to rewrite the whole thing. Tell me, what did you see in the sefer? Tell me what you saw so I can rewrite it. So the Tzemach Tzedek said to him, Rabbi, I didn't look at a thing. You told me not to look at it. You told me I'd be put in Cherem. Baal HaTanya, listen to this line. Baal HaTanya looks at him and says, it wouldn't be worth a Cherem to look at that Torah? You don't think it's worth a Cherem? I would put myself in Cherem to read such Torah. How could you not have? Well, you're going to be a Gadol B'Yisrael? An unbelievable line, no? An unbelievable line. Yeah, there's a point that we have to make a full decision over here. We're not Rabbi Elazar or Rabbi Shimon. We're not Rabbi Yudan Asi. We're not able to make full decisions and say, oh, I want Olam Haba, so I'm going to give myself Yisur and I'm going to have 60 buckets full of blood coming out of my body. That we can't make. But we can accept upon ourselves a little bit of Yisurin. You can accept upon yourself a little bit of problem. A little problem or something or other. To say to yourself, I'm going to let this be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know that I've done things that I probably shouldn't have done. And I know I've done things that you want me to do. But they're not the best things in this world. I've seen things, I've done things that I know are a little. I need to do a little bit of tshuva for that. So I'm going to accept upon myself a little bit of Yisurin. Not crazy Yisurin. I don't want to break my arm. I don't want to get sick. Chas v'shalom, I don't want any of that to happen. But a little bit of Yisurin. I look for a Gemara and I can't find it. I'm telling you, I mentioned this before. On a Thursday night, I usually, what I end up doing, I speak somewhere, then I speak at another place, and then I come here for a night theater. Usually at the end of night theater, I'm writing down little things from the Parsha that I missed out on that I wasn't able to do during the week. So I have a little sheet of paper, and I take that sheet of paper and I copy it down in another little index card. And then I had that, and I have it right there in the beginning of my notebook, and that's it. So I have three notebooks with me, and I come here, and I have like 20 minutes to go finish everything up, and I open it up, and I can't find it. So I search through the whole thing, I take the notebook, and I, you know, do the whole page thing, shake it a little bit, I can't find it anywhere. So I take my other notebook, I do the exact same thing, I can't find it. Start checking my pockets, can't find it. Look inside my office, not there. Go back to my car, it's not there. I take a flashlight, I'm looking on the ground, it's nowhere. Come back here, I take my notebook and I go like this again. Again, I can't find it. I have no idea where it is. And I'm going crazy. Where was it? I just had it here. So what happened to it? So I'm like thinking, I called up somebody who was in Makor, and they said, no, it's not there. I called up somebody who was in the Wi-Fi building, it's not there. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, where in the world is this? After Marv, I pick up my notebook, and it falls right out of the notebook. I'm like, thank you. Thank you. That's an unbelievable amount of Yisurin. I don't know what I did to deserve that. I'm sure I did something. I'm sure I did something absolutely horrible. It was the worst Yisurin I can imagine in a long time, Baruch Hashem. Unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. I was going crazy. Where did I put it? Where is it? I wasted 25 minutes of my time looking around, going around. I got nothing out of it. I was going crazy. And it was right there the whole time. If I would have just opened it up like this, instead of like going through, I would have gotten it. Yeah, a mitzvah. You lose something. You lose something. And it's right there. It's sitting right there for you, just waiting for it to happen. You're waiting to find it. It could be sitting right here. I'm like, where is it? And I go all around, I just don't see it. It's right there. That's an unbelievable amount of Yisurin. And a person can let that happen to himself. What's the point of Yisurin? It's like what we said. The Kedushas Levi says, the pshat behind the Mishpatim and Yisurin and Dinin and Nizikin, the pshat behind it is in order to bring us up, to bring us to another level. If a person doesn't have Yisurin, he doesn't want to grow. Because he thinks, I'm good as I am. Look, everything's going well for me, right? I'm making the amount of money that I need. Everything's happy. I'm doing okay. What's bad? You can't grow. Because you don't think anything, that there's nothing to grow to. What do I have to look up to? I'm fine. A person needs Yisurin to start realizing and thinking to himself, oh, you know what? Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I did something wrong. Maybe there's something else that I can do. Maybe there's something that I can grow in. And we all know the stories. I asked last night to a bunch of guys in the yeshiva program, like, does anybody know a story of, like, crazy bad things happening to a person? And then all of a sudden, like, you realize, like, oh, it was all for that. Like, the famous stories of the guy who missed the plane, you know, he, like, did something and he somehow forgot his tefillin at home, and then all of a sudden the plane left without him, and he's like, oh, I can't believe the plane left without me, and that plane crashed. That plane crashed. The famous story. I don't know any specifics. Nobody could come up with a story. You know, nobody could come up with a real story. Another story that everybody knows, these stories, like where a guy goes and he's running after a bus, and he's running after it, and he ends up tripping, and he misses the bus, and then a guy comes right by and says, hey, are you going somewhere? I'll take you right there. And that way he gets a free ride without having to worry about the bus. This is stories of just where bad things happen to you, Yisurin, and all of a sudden you see, oh, it's for the best. You know, they had a vote, who's the greatest president in history, in the U.S. history? They had a little, I don't know who they asked, they didn't ask me. But in U.S. history. So George Bush surprisingly wasn't up there. I was shocked. I thought everybody loved him. But they had a list of everybody. Oh, no? That's good. So the number one president of the United States was named President Abraham Lincoln. President Abraham Lincoln. It was a good call. They said everything about him, about how he brought the country together at a time of civil war, how he brought it. Yeah, he won the war. I want to read you what I know about Abraham Lincoln, about his life. 1831, he failed in his first business. 1832, he was defeated for legislature. 1833 was his second failed business. 1838, he was defeated for Speaker of the House. 1840, he was defeated for an elector. 1843, he was defeated for Congress. 1848, he was defeated for Congress again. 1855, he was defeated for the Senate. 1856, he was not made Vice President. 1858, he was defeated for the Senate. 1860, he became President of the United States. That's a crazy life. That's a really crazy life. An unbelievable life. Someone once asked him how he felt. It's such a great mashal. I can't believe Lahavdil, Alfi Elif Avdelis. But it mamish sounds like a chazal. Someone asked him how he felt after he lost one of the elections. Yeah, he's like 16th, you know, whatever it was. He asked him how he felt, and he said, he felt like a little boy who stubbed his toe in the dark. Stubbed his toe in the dark. He's too old to cry, but it's too sad to laugh. That's what it is. Like when, you know, you get a paper cut, you just want to cry. You just want to say, Mommy! But you know you can't. But it's not something that I can laugh off. It really hurts. That's what Yisurin are like. But he became the greatest president of the United States. There's no question in my mind one had to do with the other. It's pashut that one had to do with the other. That Lamai, because he failed so much, he failed time after time after time after time, that's why he became the best president ever. Because he knew what it was like to fail. He knew what he had to improve upon. Well, somebody who always wins, he keeps winning and winning and winning. He's always a winner. Always somebody who's up there. That guy, he doesn't realize that there's something to look up to. There's nothing to aspire to. He thinks he's as great as he is. What do you have to move down to? What does he have to move up to, I should say? That's the difference between them. Sheva Yipol Tzadik Bekam. Sheva Yipol Tzadik Bekam is the famous line of Mishlei that seven times the tzadik will fall and then he'll get up. It's pashut. What Rashi says. Not only that he'll get up, and he'll get himself back. He'll be higher than what he was before. Because every time you fall, every time you have a little bit of a yerida, there's always an aliyah that comes afterward that brings you higher than where you were originally. I have a friend who is, I shouldn't say a friend, somebody who is, we spoke about him before, a heroin addict. And he keeps going back to it. He'll have a couple months, then he's bad. A couple months, then he's bad. A couple months, then he's bad. Every time he grows, he's better. He's better. Like, he seems like, oh, now he's a normal human being. I remember last time he wasn't as normal. Oh, now he's even better than that. Then he goes even better than that. Every time he has a yerida, he brings himself up to a higher level. But he keeps going down. I mean, Shevi Yipotzad Vekam, this guy is like 753 times Vekam. But the Lamaise, he's bringing himself up. It's a scary thing. It's a hard thing to do. And you can't really do it to yourself. It's hard to do. You have to do yourself in small doses. Little tiny bits. Because otherwise, you fall too bad. You fall too hard. You're not getting yourself up. No matter what you do, you won't be able to bring yourself out. You can't pull yourself out of a pit when it gets so deep. And after you dig it, you keep falling in. You know, you dig a pit and then you jump inside. Help! Somebody helps you. Jump in again. Eventually, somebody's going to say, like, come on. What are you doing? Why do you keep doing this? That's that. So what do we have to do? We have to take upon ourselves a little bit of Yisurin. A little bit of Yisurin. What is that little bit of Yisurin? It's the end of Shovavim. We're on the men. We're on the men. It's not a leap year, so it's not Shovavim Tat. It's just Shovavim. It's just Shovavim. So we have Mishpatim, and it's really over this Shabbos. It's really over this Shabbos. We're really done with it. But there's something else that we should add on for next week. We haven't spoken in 2 weeks. We haven't really done anything in 2 weeks. And I don't know how many people said, I'm sorry. I still think it's a very small number to other people. So that's from 3 weeks ago. Shovavim is not only about Arayas and Shechva Zer Levatala, which we spoke about before. It's about Shiyamum, which means boredom. And boredom comes from laziness. It's led straight from laziness. When a person is an Otzel, and he's a lazy person, then he gets bored. And he doesn't see anything, because he's not excited about anything. He doesn't move. He just sits there in his seat, and he just doesn't get excited about anything that he sees. Everything's just the same old, it's all just the same thing that I did the day before, and the day before that, and everything's just the same. There's a bit of laziness going on, but it's in every yeshiva. You know how hard a Wintersman is? I think you know. Wintersman is just hard. And even though this yeshiva is a little bit different in that we give you breaks, well, we'll take you to St. Louis. Yeah, thank you. You're welcome. Well, you know, even though there's a little break where there's a winter vacation and then there's a weekend, a President's Day weekend, and then there's a, I don't know, whatever else there is out there. There's like this and that and the other, and like, there's a Hanukkah day off, and there's this day off and that day off. It's still a winter's month. You know why people hate a winter's month? Because it gets dark really early. It gets dark at 4:30 in the afternoon, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, 5:30 in the afternoon. And it just gets annoying. You don't want it to be dark. And it's freezing outside. I don't know what it's like in Florida during the winter's month. I have no idea. But here, it's freezing. You don't want to get out of bed. You don't want to walk outside. You don't want to walk from the dorms back to the base medrash. And even the tunnel is cold. There's nothing you can do. You want to dress yourself up. You can like get yourself and wrap your scarf around your face and just and sit there with like put a blanket over you, make yourself a little cape, and like get yourself over. But Lamaisa, what we have to know is what boils down to is it's laziness. It's pure, pure laziness. So here's what we have to work on. Halakha Seder. Musar Seder. Getting to, and I'm starting with myself for this, and I'm going to start on Sunday, Shacharis on time. Getting to Shacharis on time, getting to Mincha on time, getting to Maariv on time, getting to Seder on time, using the Seder productively. To stay till the end of Seder. Now these things are hard, and a person cannot just say, if you haven't been doing this up until now, a person can just jump into it and say, well, here I go. Here I go, I'm just going to do everything all at once. You're not going to. And you're going to fail, and then Monday is already, nothing will happen. A person just has to say that you have to get an alarm clock without a snooze button. You have to make sure that you get up early enough that you'll be able to get here on time. And it's just laziness. And you have to know that it's laziness. Don't start giving excuses. Don't start saying, well, it's this and it's that and the other. It probably is. It doesn't matter. Don't be lazy. And I'm starting with myself. I am number one on this issue. Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. Just stop it. And just say to yourself, it's time to get up and time to go and do something. Time to get up and do it. The yisurin, what's the yisurin that you're taking upon yourself? That it's hard to wake up in the morning. It's hard to get out of bed and to walk outside when it's negative 30 degrees outside. But you take that yisurin and you go with it. You take those nizikin, those damages, those bad things that happen to you, and you run with it. And you only will get bracha v'atzlacha from it. There's nothing bad that can happen from such a thing. You just grow, and you go further and further. And if halacha seder is hard for you to go to, because it's right after chakras, and I really want to eat breakfast, and I really want to do this and that, just push yourself. And sit there for 2 minutes. 2 minutes. If it's hard for you to stay till the end of davening, whichever one it is, so just push yourself. And just let that be your yisurin. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see it. And I'll say, wow, that person's really trying. That person's putting yisurin on himself. And it is yisurin, because you don't want to do it just yet. And you'll get something from it. You'll get more Olam Haba from it. Aside from the fact that you have extra time to learn and daven and do whatever. It doesn't only go with the yeshiva. It goes with anything. When it comes to homework. When it comes to just cleaning up something. Cleaning up your room, for example. It's just laziness that's keeping you down. It's just laziness that's making you not do it. It's just laziness. And all you got to do is say to yourself, I got to do this. I have to do it. For myself, not for anybody else. Not because Walter is yelling at me. Not because somebody else is telling me, the Mashgiach is telling me I got to come to davening on time. Not because the Mashgiach is telling me that Seder ends at 12:30. Because myself, what am I going to be like in my life if I come to work at 10:15 when work started at 9? I come to work at 10:15 and I leave at 3:30. And I don't work so hard while I'm there. And I take a long lunch break. What kind of a life is that? Let's say the boss is like, yeah, go for it. You're a great worker. During those 3 hours, you can accomplish much more than everybody can in their 8 or 9 hours. You're a great worker. For you, you think you're going to be satisfied? Spending 3 hours out of your day doing work and the rest of the day you're just wasting at the coffee machine or the copy machine, copying your hand and seeing what it looks like? Is that going to be a good life? You're not going to be satisfied. And you're always going to be looking for more. This is the way to find more. By actually working on it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it in the Torah. That if you do this, if you work hard, if you have these nizikin and yisurin, that you're going to get better. And things will be better. You're just not trying hard enough. And there's no one here who can say, I'm trying up to my utmost. I can't try any harder than I already have been. It's not true, and you know it's not true. No matter how hard you're trying, there's always something else you can do. There's always something else that you can strive for. Whether it's a Sunday afternoon, whether it's a Monday morning, whether it's a Friday morning and a Seder on Friday, where the person can push himself to be here until 12 o'clock. But don't start off that way. You start off by being here at 10:30. Then slowly you build yourself up until 12 o'clock. Then you build yourself up a little bit. But just keep pushing yourself. You know what it does? And this is how we're going to end. It could be a very easy mida keneged mida. If we're being lazy, and we don't want to try hard, and we're not going to work on ourselves, the mida keneged mida, Mashiach's not going to try hard. Mashiach's going to be lazy. Mashiach's going to sit there and say, I'm not ready to come yet. He's happy in his bed. And he's sitting there and he's saying, why should I come? Do you know how much work it's going to be for me when B'nai Yisrael is all coming to me and they all have questions? It's going to be thousands of questions that they're going to ask me. Thousands, just from one person. It's going to be hard work. If we're lazy, that Kabi Yochol makes a Kaddish Baruch Hu lazy. Because what we do down here affects Shemayim in a way. And Kabi Yochol, it makes it that Mashiach is lazy. To the point where Mashiach says, well, what's the point of me coming? What am I getting out of coming? So if we're not, if we start working on ourselves, if we start running, and you start using your Seder, not just sit there and Seder. You gotta get up and get up. Start running around, run around. Not run around to go talk to people. Run around to ask a question. I don't get this, Mari Malkom. Even if you understand the Mari Malkom, get up and go ask somebody. Are you sure you got it? You sure you understand it? Except for Shmoo. Nobody's that assured. Nobody. You know. Nobody. You know there's something that might be a little bit off. So go around and you just say, come on, I need to work on this. That's what we need to do. Start saying to ourselves, I just got to move. I just got to start working. That's the idea behind it. And you know what I really like? And this is the only thing that I like about the winter? I like it when people don't wear a coat in between this base medrash and the dorm. You know why? Because it's so cold outside, you move quicker. You wear a coat, you can amble along, shuffle your feet outside, because you're nice and warm and cozy. You're there. If you're not wearing a coat, you see guys run. You see them run. And that's good. Why shouldn't you run? Run to the base medrash. Don't exactly run away, it's halachically usur to run away from the base medrash. But take a couple steps out of the base medrash and then make your run, then make your dash. It makes people move. It's the one thing I like about it. That people actually move quicker in the winter because of it. When they actually get up, first they have to get up. But once they get up, then they move. That's what I like about it. It shows you a little bit of zrizus. Shows you a little bit more. Stops your laziness just a little bit. That's what we should be looking forward to. A little bit less atzlanus and a little bit more. And it starts with Sunday morning. It starts with Shabbos and it starts with Friday night. Getting the mincha in time for Friday night. And then Shabbos Shacharis morning. Which, people don't really like. Shabbos Shacharis morning is already later. There's a problem with that. But then, getting there for mincha on time. Getting there for a Seder on Shabbos on time. Getting there for Motzei Shabbos on time. And then, Sunday morning. Start it off. And do one thing on Sunday. Pick one thing for yourself. Shacharis, mincha, mariv, halacha Seder, Motzei Seder, morning Seder, second Seder. So one thing. Just pick one. I didn't mean to leave out night Seder, but that seems to be the trend. But we'll add on night Seder as the other one, my other finger over here. It's... work on it. We'll sit there and Mashiach will start running. Because we're running. I'll start running and I'll say, oh, I'm here. I'll say, oh, that's awesome. And then we'll start running with him. Tired to straw. We'll fly on our own. We don't need wings. Eagle's wings. We'll just fly on our own. It's like basilisk running on the ocean. We'll do it. All right, guys.